What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
There's a new buzz in middays.
Blankers let us know it's his 8th year anniversary today. Everybody's congratulating you. Lisa's the one that deserves the congratulations. I know what a year feels like with you, and that's only 3 hours a day. Could you imagine 8 years, 12 hours a day with Blankers?
I believe the word you're looking for is bliss.
Congratulated.
That's what
or
it would be. It would be straight bliss.
Check out the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham. Weekdays noon to 3 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Brendan behind the glass. It is a Thursday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. A day closer to Game 1 of the 2022 World Series. Of course, it all gets underway tomorrow night, Minute Maid Park. You can listen to the national broadcast here on ESPN Radio 97.5. Roof's going to be closed for both games. Major League Baseball announcing
both
that.
Games?
Manfred's a little upset that the weather influence, the wind influence that Yankees game, Game 2, that he's going to shut the roof. I'm a fan of the roof being shut. I really am. I think it's a louder ballpark when it's shut, and I think it maximizes the home field advantage when it's shut. And the Astros are used to playing with it more when it's shut. So I'm cool with it.
I like the aesthetics of, and I'm sure the network does too, of the aerials and the skyline and the whole way the stadium looks. Mm-hmm. But as long as that's what the team prefers and the team has shown success, because their record going into the Judge homer that wasn't game was 1-4 in the games in the playoffs when the roof was open. So then I obviously would prefer the opposite, so I prefer it to be closed. So I get it. It's not as visually pleasing when it looks darker when, you know, you're watching the game. But if it helps the home team have an advantage, that's why you have it. That's why you do it. And therefore, that's great. And oh, by the way, if Robbie got his undies in a bundle because his Yanks didn't pull one out because of that, good. So be it.
I think he did. That's his number one team. That's his favorite. He's not going to have any team to pull for in this World Series. We know that the Astros are playing the Phillies. We know that the Phillies' best player is Bryce Harper. We had the debate yesterday who's the best player in this series. Is it Bryce? Is it Jordan? I think it's Jordan because Bryce isn't playing defense. But Chandler Rome of the Chronicle, kind of recycling an old story. Now, there's new information on this old story. We remember back in 2018 when the Houston Astros were seeking their second World Series title in a row, that they were intrigued by a guy by the name of Bryce Harper. He was in the final year of his deal with Washington. Jeff Luhnow was calling about some reliever with Washington and then kind of tongue-in-cheek said, well, what about Bryce? And the general manager at the time for the Nats was like, well, let's talk about it. We know that he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. We don't think that we're going to be able to bring him back. You give us something that we like, and we'll do it. We know this story. We know that ownership nixed it for Philadelphia. There is a little bit of more to the story now from Chandler Rome. You can see it at HoustonChronicle.com. He did reveal the package, which Jeff Luhnow, it was quoted in the story, I think went to Twitter as well, and said, yep, all of this is true. All of this is fact. The five-player package that the Astros were going to give to Washington to acquire Bryce Harper at the trade deadline, now it was in the final year of his deal, probably wouldn't have re-signed with the Astros. Maybe they would have, but probably not. The five-player package included Abraham Toro, who, of course, went to Seattle later in the Kendall Graveman trade. Actually, I apologize for calling it the Kendall Graveman trade. Going to Seattle in the Rafael Montero trade. Randy Cesar, who never has pitched in baseball, or an infielder, rather. He's never played in Major League Baseball. Josh James, who kind of fell off the deep end there a little bit. J.B. Bukauskas, who's been okay, not really living up to the hype of who he was. And then Ken Emanuel. So, like, a pile of mediocrity at very, very best that could have been for Bryce Harper. And you look at that trade, like, what could have been? Maybe they win it all in 2018, of course, they lost to the Red Sox that year when Joe West made a horrific call on a home run ball in right field, calling spectator interference, creating that call. But I look at this, too, as because we know that James Click is on the final year of his deal, right?
Yep.
It all the tea leaves tell us that he might not be back. Like 50-50 shot, I would put it at. I don't know what you would put it at. Sig Meidel has been a name that's come up, who used to be a right-hand man for Jeff Luhto during the early glory days of the Houston Astros. This Stearns guy, I believe it's pronounced, for Milwaukee. He today is like stepping down as his role of baseball operations for Milwaukee, citing family and wants to spend time with them. He, before Sig Meidel, was a right-hand man for Jeff Luhto. And I look at this story and kind of put the two together. I think part of the reason that, look, I don't think there's any love lost between Crane and Click. I think if you do a little bit of a deep dive, I don't know if they like each other a whole lot. But also, I think Crane looks at that GM spot, and he has fond memories, might not like Luhto, but has fond memories of how Jeff Luhto was aggressive. Jeff Luhto would make the splash. We know he went and got Gerrit Cole. We know that he went and got Zach Greinke. We know that he had a deal done with Philadelphia or with Washington for Bryce Harper until ownership nixed it. I think you can kind of look at these two things together and understand that the Astros owner might want a GM that's more aggressive than what we've seen from James Click.
No, I think that we've discussed this previously. I think that there's no doubt that James, there's a certain type of personality and skill set that James Click looks at. I mean, that Jim Crane looks at when he wants to work with somebody. I think he thought he was getting someone that doesn't have that kind of similar skill set in terms of from a communication standpoint, from kind of like a synergy chemistry standpoint with what he expects for the general manager and how they interact and how they get along. If you do your job, you do your job. I mean, you can go up and down the list of people that aren't going to go out and have drinks or play golf together, but can work together. And you know, for Jim Crane, I understand that it's nice when your Cy Young Award winner is going to be one of your boys that you can just negotiate a contract on the golf course with. But it's not always like that, and I know he's known that for all these years in the business world. You've got to get a guy that you believe in, that you can then let to do his job. And it seems like more so than with Luhto, Jim Crane, because of the fact that when he has gotten involved, he likes how impactful some of the things he's been able to get involved with have worked out, that maybe he doesn't like the fact that it doesn't seem to be Click style as much. So I could see him. I'm with you. I think 50-50 is about the best I could put it, that Click's back. And it's not because the moves that Click made or didn't make weren't the right moves for the team. It's because of that kind of extra stuff that goes with
it. I like to call it the splash factor.
Yeah,
because Luhto had that splash factor.
Yeah, he did.
He had it with the names we just mentioned, with Cole, with Greinke. Had a trade done for Bryce Harper the year that his contract was going to expire, where he left Washington, went to Philadelphia that offseason, but ownership nixed the deal, which not a great idea by ownership to nix the deal because he left in free agency anyways. Now, there wasn't a great player really in that trade package.
Nothing. I mean, looking at it, it's easy to do in retrospect.
Bukauskas is the best player, and he's been not very good as a Major League Baseball player.
But it does lend itself to a conversation that we've had on this station for like 5 or 6 years, and that's the back and forth of, you know, giving up a prospect to get a proven player. Prospects are just that. You know, they're hit or miss. No matter how highly they're drafted, there's a few, very select few at the very, very, very top end of the first round that you can already see are special, and they're going to end up being in the big leagues very soon. Uh-huh. But other than that, a lot of times, and it's back and forth. A.J. Hoffman used to think that, you know, Chris Sale should have been an Astro for Alex Bregman, and I fought tooth and nail that was the wrong move. But on the other hand, there's also a lot of times when you say, well, there's a pitching prospect here or there, and if you give up that pitching prospect and someone else, you can have this proven major league player that can help you now. That's one where I would say, yeah, more times than not, I'll make that deal because I don't know that that prospect's going to pan out.
I think it's more about evaluating which prospect should be good, because I think that the reason that the Astros have been great for a long time is because of their homegrown success. Jose Altuve, Jeremy Pena, Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker. They acquired Yordan Alvarez before he was even in the bigs, yeah. Right? Carlos Correa, George Springer. You look at this pitching staff go down. Yeah. Framber Valdez, Lance McCullers, Luis Garcia, Jose Urquidy, Christian Javier, Hunter Brown. So I disagree. Agree with that to an extent. It's more about which minor leaguers you value, and you have to hit. It's the same thing that we talk about with Nick Caserio, right?
What I'm saying,
like,
remember,
you have to hit on the draft picks. You have to hit on which minor league players
you do,
that you value
what
the
I'm
most.
Saying is, you know internally who your prospects are that you feel are either can't miss.
I think that's where you make your money.
Yeah, but because I think that, you know, I've said over and over again, if you look at over a five-year period or a 10-year period now of Astros baseball, if you take their top position player and their top pitcher in the system from year to year, as ranked by others, within a year's time, almost all of them, with very few exceptions.
I think there's more exceptions than you're giving them credit for. Because, like, Carlos Correa was the best player for a long time.
But not like
Kyle Tucker
was the
best player for a long
time. Number
Bregman
one in the whole draft. But I'm saying, like, one year it was Derek Fisher. There was three separate pitchers. Polino.
You had Polino. You had who's that big righty? PED use.
Yes. All three of them either had PEDs or arm issues.
Can't remember.
We know that recently you had Hunter Brown. You had Forrest Whitley. So you look at it and go, you know, if it's the difference between getting an all-star equivalent type major league talent, it's worth taking the risk a lot of times because you don't know if all these guys are going to pan out. But you know your system best, so that's where you've got to really excel.
Yeah.
Other teams are looking at your system, and they're trying to evaluate who they think is going to be good. But you know who you can part with and can't part with, like the Dodgers, not even knowing it was the right Alvarez. They were trying to protect another Alvarez in their system who was highly ranked and found out it was actually this other guy, Yordan Alvarez, and said, go ahead, take him. We thought you wanted this guy.
713-780-ESPN. Do you look at this Astro general manager position and how Jim Crane looks at it, and do you view it that he's not aggressive enough is the reason that maybe he wants to move on? He has visions of what Luno did with Cole, with Greinke, this trade that was done, but ownership nixed it in Washington for Bryce Harper. 713-780-ESPN, the
Martez?
HRP listener line.
The top pitching
Francisco
prospect.
Martez,
yeah,
maybe?
Martez. Yeah, Polino and Martez.
713-780-3776. But I'll take a couple of misses if it means that I get this pitching rotation that was all homegrown. The Astros have had the success that they've had is that they built through the pipeline. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Also, any changes that you want to see the Astros make heading into the World Series? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ryan Spader is going to be joining us in about 15 minutes. Should be an interesting conversation. I really hope he doesn't say Team of Destiny when talking about the Philadelphia Phillies, because I'm getting sick and tired of hearing about the Philadelphia Phillies, an underachieving team that had to fire their manager all of a sudden, a Team of Destiny. Sick of hearing that. I heard Larry Bo on MLB Network, who Larry Bo is a Philly.
Yep.
He said they were a Team of Destiny. And I threw my remote towards my TV, but I don't have any command, and I missed the TV, thank goodness.
Well, Miss Branham, baby. Don't do it in the same room as Branham,
baby. Branham,
baby,
was downstairs. Right. I go upstairs to prep. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. We're talking about this Astro GM question, controversy, whatever you want to call it, conundrum, who knows. Chris, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. What's going on, Chris?
Yeah, good afternoon, Joel and Jeremy. I liked during the year how Dusty and James kind of had that, tug of war between analytics and going with your gut. I think that provides, like, the perfect relationship. You don't have one person going too far one way or the other. And I think James Click wants to probably hire his own manager, you know. And I think, you know, from what I've heard, the rumors are that Dusty is pretty much all but coming back next year. And, maybe James isn't too keen on that. And so that creates the friction between him and Crane, you know, that he's not going to be able to handpick his manager, and Crane is, you know, it seems like he's a dusty guy, and he's going to stick with the manager, and the next GM is going to have to, you know, realize that Dusty's going to be the manager. So that's kind of my take on it, you know, that Jim Crane, yeah, he's not as hands-on maybe as Jerry Jones, but I think he's probably more hands-on than the owner was in Tampa Bay, you know, and James Click, I think, did a great job this year. You guys have always said some of the best moves are the ones that a general manager doesn't make. I mean, we're undefeated in the playoffs this year, and we're having this conversation. So, you know, I wish James Click all the best.
Appreciate the call, Chris. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. I agree with pretty much everything that you said. Dusty Baker, I do believe, is going to be back with the Astros. I think Dusty Baker pretty much tipped his hand when he was asked about it the other day, and Dusty Baker said, oh, I don't want to be a distraction. We'll talk about that at the end of the season. Dusty Baker, whenever he doesn't have the contract in place for the next season, has said that he wants to be back. So that leads me to believe that the deal's all but done, as you said, Chris. As it goes with like the analytical, the old school stuff, there's been times, and I don't think that they like hate each other. I think that they have a working relationship. How great is it? I don't know, between Click and Dusty. And there's been tribulations in the past, but if you look at them, I think Click was right on pretty much all of them. Miles Straw traded, right? Because he wanted more Chaz McCormick last year. Miles Straw has been terrible in Cleveland. Go look at the center field position this year. Like, did Click bring up Jake Myers too soon, all that? Yeah, probably. But he was also playing Dubon, Dusty was, over Chaz McCormick during that whole time. And Dusty said that he's a corner outfielder, and James Click said, no, he's a center fielder. And who's getting all the starts in center field right now in the playoffs? It's Chaz McCormick. I don't mind Dusty as the manager of this team. Like, I've done a 180 here. I think at times that I over the summer, looking way too much at one individual game as opposed to the 162. And look, I'm a numbers guy. I'm an analytical guy. I think James Click cannot be let go because he's unwilling to work with Dusty Baker. He's in a great organization, one of the best organizations in all of baseball. This organization's having the best six-year run of any other organization in all of Major League Baseball. If you can't put aside these differences you have with Dusty Baker, when it doesn't matter a whole lot, then you're not doing yourself any sort of favors at all. Now, Crane's going to hire an analytical guy. Like, you're not going to get rid of Click and then hire another GM that's not analytical. The two names that have, like, been rumored, Sig Meidel was first. David Stearns really hasn't been rumored, but people were saying, well, look, you know, he's stepping down. He used to be an Astro. Both of those dudes are, like, super analytical. Every GM in baseball is super analytical.
Every smart business guy goes with something that's worked, right? If it's worked multiple times and it's worked and he's worked with guys that have used analytics and analytics has been proven. Because sometimes owners are tougher to convince than the general public or the team itself or the people that, you know, are watching you on a daily basis, that you can convince an owner by getting results. And you've seen the results with Luno. You saw results, but in a different way from Click. The thing is that Click hired Dusty. I mean, Crane hired Dusty before he hired Click. So therefore, there was already kind of a line drawn in the sand that Dusty was a Crane guy. And that Click, we've talked about this multiple times. At some point, every general manager wants to hire his own manager that kind of fits his narrative for how he wants to run his baseball side. It's really interesting to me because of the fact that Jim Crane is one of those guys that believes that in the good old boy network of doing business, right? Like, you do deals best with your buddies sometimes because you can get them done quick and you know that neither one of them are trying to pull the wool over the other's eyes. But you can't always have it that way. There's plenty of guys that I've worked with over the years and plenty of people that I've come across that we're not going out to get beer and we're not going out to hit balls, but we're going to go and do our jobs and we're going to work well together and get it done. Some people, from an ownership perspective, that doesn't sit well with. And so you decide to move on. This team is so well constructed, whether Click is here or not, it's going to still keep moving down the tracks in a very positive way. But you don't want to short sell a guy like Click, who didn't have that big home run, as you put the real high attention getting move.
The splash.
But the splash moves. But the moves that he made this team better, there's no doubt.
And also, in a sport where we look at other teams that are star and scrubs. Like the Yankees, I thought, were a star and scrub team. They have one of the best pitchers in Gerrit Cole. They have the best offensive player in the American League this year in Aaron Judge. And then the rest of their team were scrubs. They had some injuries there, too. And they didn't produce in the playoffs. They almost got beat by the Guards, got swept by the Astros. We're in a division with the Angels where they have the biggest stars and scrubs roster that there is. The best player in baseball in Shohei Ohtani and probably the second best player in baseball in Mike Trout. Win healthy. Rest of the team full of scrubs. They can't win. Baseball's more about the balance of an organization, and that's where James Click has excelled in. And I'm a fan of James Click. I like James Click. I love that Tampa Bay Ray front office and what they've done for the last two decades with far less than anybody else in Major League Baseball. But if Jim Crane thinks he can go find a better general manager, whether it's Sig Meidel, whether it's Stearns, look, I view the GM spot like I view the center field spot. If you can get better there, you get better there. 713-780-ESPN.
So, no, go ahead. I mean, my thing is if I'm sitting in the owner's chair, right? Mm-hmm. I want my general manager to bring me. I want him to be as aggressive as possible.
I want him to build a winner. That's what I care about.
Right. I mean, obviously, winning is the most important thing, and then sustaining winning over a long period of time. But just because you have a deal that's been discussed doesn't mean it has to get done. But I think what Crane would like is to be sitting in his big leather chair and have, you know, the knock on the door come from Click and say, "Hey, I was discussing making a trade for a Bryce Harper. Yeah, I looked at Aaron Judge, as well as these analytical deals that can better your bullpen or better, you know, certain areas of your team."
But
without
they have the best. I mean, you're talking more generally speaking.
I'm talking generally from an ownership. You know, it's like the difference between Cal and Crane is Cal doesn't give a rat's ass who comes to him with what, and he'd rather just stay out of it for the most part. Whereas you kind of have it's not Jerry Jones, it's not, you know, a Dan Snyder type, but you have an owner in Crane who basically says, "I want to know what's going on. I have my finger on the pulse of baseball every day when I'm around the team anyway, but I want you to not only bring me the deals that make the most sense and also can make, you know, moves to make us better, I want you to be exploring at least every opportunity for big names as well, and we'll then be able to evaluate whether it's the right move or not."
If I'm advocating for Click, though, the big splash you could have made was bring back Correa. You don't make the big splash.
Worked
you
out, right.
A boring decision. It worked out and also saved your owner $30 million. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, get Pena in here. Pena, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, man? Jeremy Pena.
Pena, let's go,
you're
bud.
In the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Pena?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, we got you.
All right, what's going on, guys? Good afternoon.
What's up?
Dusty Baker talk?
Whatever you want to
Whatever.
Talk
Come
about,
on, man.
Pena. Bring it, but just bring it quick.
Okay, I will. All right, so if I had to choose one for next year, I would go with Dusty Baker only because the shift is going away, and who has played in the old school baseball? Dusty Baker, yeah. And I trust him throughout this playoff. He earned my respect and everything. So has Click. I wasn't a fan of him at the beginning of the year. Wasn't a fan of Baker. But like I said, old school baseball coming back next year. Yeah, the pitch count and everything. But
Pena, you were calling almost the entire season, calling for Dusty's head.
Appreciate the call, Pena. Yeah, Dusty Baker is going to allow his hitters to hit well because there's no longer going to be a shift. Look, Dusty, I've turned the corner on Dusty, too. I think he's great in the clubhouse. I think he's great with players. I think he instills confidence in dudes like Jeremy Pena. Great playoff. Instills confidence in a guy like Yuli Gurriel. Great playoff. He hasn't done anything wrong in this postseason, and I think that we over-sensationalize sometimes the one game because we're living it. We're looking at it day-to-day. We're a little worried that those trends will continue into the playoffs. Like, one of our trends was Dubon's going to be your everyday center fielder instead of Chaz McCormick. Now, Dusty ended up going to Chaz McCormick, but what would we be saying right now if he didn't? So, like, I get the whole, like, frustration with Dusty over 162, but he's been fine when it comes to, like, the body of work in the postseason.
Can I tell you what's scary about that comment that you made about, and you were right on, about, you know, saving an owner $30 million? That's the kind of thing that would factor into Les Alexander decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Les Alexander would keep a ledger and basically almost like a scorecard and say, "You just saved me 30 mil, but between fines and or, you know, trades, or if we're making a trade for a draft pick and have to pay this amount of money," he's the guy that said, "Okay, now go into the business side and show me where we're going to cancel out $2 million of our budget so that I can pay $2 million for a second round draft pick." That's a scary way some owners think, but that's the way they got to how they got to all the money that they have. I don't think Crane operates like that, But, I mean, obviously Crane should factor in. That was a $30-plus million savings,
yeah,
thanks to a general manager that he may or may not be too keen with.
Yeah, I think that Crane, Crane's not cheap. Crane's going to spend money. While it might not always be payroll, I think he puts it right back into the organization, minor league development, the system, the pipeline, all of that. And the Astros have had one of the best pipelines that have led to this golden era of Houston Astro baseball. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to that conversation about any changes that you want to see heading into the World Series a little bit later. But first, we're going to talk to Ryan Spader, covers Major League Baseball. Remember, he defended the Houston Astros once upon a time. He's in Houston for the World Series as well. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're going to be in Houston like Ryan Spader over the weekend, well, this weekend's going to be fantastic. You got a World Series game tomorrow. You got a World Series game on Saturday night. But you also got some good college football going on Saturday morning. Kick off your sports Saturday over at TD ECU Stadium. It is homecoming. All roads lead home. Come home to TD ECU. Cougars very much in the American Conference race, looking for their third straight win as they host the USF Bulls. Don't miss the pomp and circumstance of college football. Special halftime performance, as always, with the great Spirit of Houston. But also this week, because of homecoming, presentation of the homecoming court. Entertainment by the cheerleaders throughout the game. Cougar Doll, Shasta and Sasha, and DJ Yobi Yobes in the student section, of course, with that product on the field as well, looking for their third straight. Get there early for the tailgating. Who doesn't love a college tailgate? And it starts early. 8 o'clock tailgate, so you know what's in store for that. Cougar Walk at 8:45. What better way to get your Saturday started? Also, a couple of deals that you can take advantage of. Do you have a family? Well, take advantage of the family four-pack. 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 chips, 4 sodas, all for less than $100. Get that for $96. All you have to do is go to uhcougars.com/promo, enter promo code USF4PACK, or just call them up, 713-GO-COUGS. Say, Branham told us about this USF 4-Pack. I want to take advantage of that. Do so at 713-GO-COUGS. Don't have a family? You're looking for a couple of tickets? You're looking for just one ticket? Well, they start at just $15, too, while supplies last. uhcougars.com, 713-GO-COUGS. Don't miss all the fun and pageantry of college football. Come early, be loud, and wear red.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Welcome back into the Killer Bees. Let's go straight out to the HRMP guest line, where we're joined by Ryan Spader, Major League Baseball analyst, author, host, does a little bit of everything. Big fan of your work, Ryan. I saw you tweeting the other day about how you're not well-received in baseball. What's going on? Everybody should be well-receiving of Ryan Spader.
I think, first of all, I appreciate you guys having me on. And at least I'm well received on 97.5 here. But I just get a lot of different negative feedback, and I think it's because of the approach that I take to the game. I don't depend on baseball for a paycheck like a lot of people do. I do everything I do is simply because I love baseball, and because I love baseball, I want the truth to always be out there regarding the game. And I feel as though oftentimes, specifically with the quote-unquote cheating scandal, it is not out there. And for this reason, for my, sort of no BS approach towards the game, I also get a lot of negative feedback. And, sometimes I tweet stupid things just like anybody else, things maybe I shouldn't say. And get a lot of negative feedback from that. Oftentimes, it's amplified by the fact that certain people already don't like me very much. And so, to be honest, when I went on that little tirade the other day, I was really feeling down because I was fired up that my Phillies won that ball game, and then somebody managed to find my fiance's private Instagram and sent her something really nasty. Oh, and I was just, like, so fed up. And so, honestly, at that moment, I was like, I'm done with this. I don't need this. But, I think I have a lot to offer the game. I love baseball. I love the players. I consider myself not an analyst, a statistician, a host, an author, any of that stuff. I just do that because I'm a ball player, and I just suck. So I had to find another way into the game.
Well, Ryan, you know, we got elections coming up here in Houston. You actually, until that last comment you just made about the Phillies, probably could have run for mayor at a certain point here and won because you were the hero we all needed. And, you know, we had you on the show, and all the shows here on the station had you on, and we loved every bit of the content. And then all of a sudden, you kind of walked it back a little bit, and it went away. And I'm just curious, like, was that pressure from outside sources? I mean, you say how much you love the game. I loved the fact that you came out that outspoken to tell what we had heard was the undercurrent of what everybody was doing, and then it kind of got subdued by walking it back a little bit. And I was just curious if you felt outside pressure to kind of walk that back a little.
So I'm going to have to dance around this one a little bit. I'll tell you a couple things. I definitely got pressure. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you exactly from where.
Fair.
I will tell you that I had within, let's say, about an hour of feeling that pressure, I had one of the number one sports attorneys in the country willing to represent me free of charge. And furthermore, I want to go back to that time when I apologized for saying what I said. I apologized for saying what I said. I did not say I didn't believe any of what I said. I did not say things that I said were untrue. I just apologized for saying it and for reporting things from anonymous sources. I don't know why I was, you know, pressured to do that, because all the time sources are anonymous. Everything that I reported, I had gotten from two independent sources, generally ball players. Always anything that was in favor of the Astros, I always try to verify outside of the organization. And, you know, I can't walk back my walk back. I did what I did because I was, truth told, I was scared. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just the way things unfolded, and it's unfortunate. If I could do it all over again, I probably wouldn't have keyed in specifically on, I don't know about teams, because that's really, you know, that's a 10,000-foot view. So maybe it was okay to go with the teams. Maybe shouldn't have done the players specifically, but I just didn't want to hold back anything that I was told by multiple sources within the game. And so the way that I approached, quote-unquote, walking it back is I just apologized for doing what I did. I didn't, you know, just to repeat myself, I didn't say I didn't believe any of what I said. To this day, I believe what I said. So
I appreciate the honesty, man. I really do, because, you know, it was obviously driving us crazy.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have come out and kind of talked about that, too, the further and further you get away. Rob Thompson yesterday in his press conference was saying, like, I don't have any bitterness towards the Astros at all. It's Ryan Spader joining us on the HRMP guest line. You can follow him on Twitter at the Ace of Spader or the theaceofspader.com. Let's talk about this series, because you are coming into Houston. We hope you have safe travels here. What do you make of this World Series? What are a couple of critical matchups between Astros Phils?
So I think it goes without saying it's imperative for either team to win the first game. It's tough for me because I love the Astros. I've grown a fondness for the Astros. Lance McCullers Jr. has become one of my best friends in the game, who, you know, who happens to be a ball player, and it just also so happens that he's just got some of the nastiest stuff in the game. I'm not sure if he's going to get the ball in game two or game three, but it's certainly going to be one of them. When it comes to the Phillies versus the Astros, I think the difference is this. If the Phillies do not play perfect baseball in the majority of these games, they do not have a chance to win the series. Whereas the Astros do have the luxury of having the ability to make mistakes throughout the series and still coming out on top. They are a better team. They have a stronger rotation. I look at the lineups. Honestly, I think at their best, the lineups are a lot closer than we're giving the Phillies credit for. If you look at their offensive output throughout the season, the Phillies actually topped them in many offensive categories, including total runs scored, Their batting average was very close. Their on-base percentage was within 2 points. Their slugging percentage within 2 points. OPS right there. So these lineups are going to match up pretty good. It's going to come down to the pitching. It's going to come down to the Phillies bullpen, which was not great to begin the season, but really turned it on. Jose Alvarado figured it out. I don't know if they're going to be able to depend on a guy like Zach Eflin. I think what they're going to be looking for out of him is maybe somebody to come in and save the day if, you know, you got to yank a pitcher after three innings and, you know, you need somebody to go 4, 5, 6, 7, same type of thing for Kyle Gibson. But the Astros, the way I see it is they just don't have holes. And when you don't have holes, you have the luxury of seeing Jose Altuve go 0 for 22 to begin it the postseason. And the Phillies, on the other hand, don't really have that luxury. So perfect baseball from the Phillies is what it's going to take for them to win the series. And, of course, I got a pull for my hometown team. I have a $1,776 future that I placed in August for them to win the World Series, which would net me about $65K. So I'm really pulling for them a little bit extra this time around.
What do you make of this Phillies team, though, Ryan? I'm just curious, like, from where they came from to where they are now and how they got there and just how basically it was just not really with manager change and everything else.
So I think, honestly, I feel a little bit badly for Joe Girardi. I don't think he's a terrible manager. I just don't think he was a fit manager for this club. I think that this Philly squad is much better than the 87 wins that they put up. I would honestly put them between like a 94 and 96 win team, which is about where they were under Rob Thompson. But we see it every single year. It doesn't matter what sport. I mean, generally, it's usually more so in baseball than the other three major sports. Also, we see it in hockey all the time. But a team just gets hot at the right time, and they make a run. They make a run for a pennant. They make a run for a World Series, and that's what we've seen from the Phillies. But again, I think we look at that 87 win season and say, they're a third wild card team. They don't belong. I don't necessarily agree with that. So I really
how would you classify
them? It's going to be much more competitive than a lot of
how would you classify them? Would you classify them as a team of destiny?
I like to say that, but I don't necessarily believe in the term.
Yeah.
I think that things are just clicking for them right now. Everything's firing on all cylinders.
My co-host,
except the defense is still terrible.
My co-host here hates that term, and it's been brought up multiple times. It drives him nuts.
I don't think the Phillies quantify a team of destiny. I think that they're a team finally playing up to their potential. I don't know why that makes you a team of destiny. But, Ryan, we always appreciate
it. I agree completely.
There you go.
Ryan, you need to come back more often. There's much more we need to get into. We appreciate you.
Safe travels to
Houston. I want to throw in one last thing here, just for your listeners. So ever since I mentioned that I was coming to Houston for the series, I have gotten an outpour. I would say triple digits of Astros fans, like 100+, have reached out to me and been like, hey, you got to come out, beer on me. I don't care. You're a Phillies fan. You know, you're an honorary member of the Astros fan club and all this. And I just appreciate that so much. That's not something I even get from my own hometown team. So I'm really fired up to visit Houston. And honestly, I wish I was going for more than just the Saturday game.
Yeah, you'll have to do that, Ryan. Take advantage of that. Some Southern hospitality at its finest. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, man.
Enjoy your trip, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, beer's on me if I see you guys down there.
Not if I buy it first. Ryan Spader joining the Killer Bees on the HR&P guest line. Great stuff as always from the ace of Spader. All right, let's have that conversation we were going to have before Ryan came on. Any changes that you want to see the Astros make ahead of the World Series? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my friends at MyBookie. It's MyBookie.ag. You need to go there. It should be the only place that you're looking to go when you want to place money on a sporting event. They have so many different ways that you can get involved, that you can partake, that you can make the most uninteresting game more interesting. And right now, They're doing a lot of different things that make it enticing for you to go to MyBookie. I mean, they've got the normal things, the point spreads and the over-unders, but they always take care of you. So up to $1,000, when you make your next deposit, they're going to throw in an extra half of what you put in. So therefore, you have more in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances to win. They've got all this other thing, all the other things going on too. Like now, if you sign up and put in the promo code BET975 that you should put in every and any time they ask you for a code, they will also give you a special deal between now and Halloween if you get in and sign up and make another deposit. Look, they've got blackjack if you want to play blackjack. They have all these different things to make you a part of their family and understand how they take care of their customers. They have sometimes promos that don't cost you a thing to get in, but if you win, you're going to get paid. They're always going to make sure that if you want to get paid and get the money out, you'll get it. And the fact that your money's safe and secure. You can put your money down with a credit card. You can pay with Bitcoin if you'd like, because they want to be a convenience for you when you're looking to place wagers on games and sporting events. You like prop bets? They've got that too. They've got a deal going on right now and all the time where they have a prop builder where you can pick a stat, pick a team, pick a player, build a bet around it, and then get involved with betting that way. It's winning season, and it's only at the place that I tell you to go to when it's time to put money down. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Breaking World Series news. Justin Verlander has been announced as the Game 1 starter for the Houston Astros. Yeah, Brendan was telling us he got an email from the Astros saying that JV is the starter, and everybody's tweeting out Justin Verlander starting Game 1.
Close personal friends
of the World Series. Brian McTaggart, Astros named Justin Verlander, Game 1 starter for the World Series.
Roof closed, Games 1 and 2. We already broke that. We're breaking news just all over the place today.
I'm not sure we broke it.
Well, we shared it.
We were the messenger, maybe.
Okay.
So Nola Verlander, Game 1, World Series tomorrow. What?
Don't poop on it. Let us be
transparent.
Paul has to oversell
listeners.
The fact that he's the most interactive show in Houston. Why can't we just be the breaking news show?
Paulie's been interactive for like 7 years. He used to be the most interactive sports show back at the flagship.
Flagship of what?
The Highway to Hell. His show at night was the interactive sports show. And before he was singing the whole Jeremy Pena thing, he was singing Jeremy Branham. Just remember that.
Can attest to that.
Yeah, I'm a little upset about that, a little triggered by that. Anyways, we had the conversation. We actually didn't get to the conversation because we were talking about Click and Crane and all that stuff. But any changes that you want to see the Astros make heading into the World Series?
I mean, the third catcher was intriguing to me just because I'd like to see Vasquez DH a little bit in this series and give them the option to do so. And I think that because they didn't even tap into Urquidy in the playoffs so far, that they have an excess of pitching. They tried Seth Martinez last series. He didn't see any action either. And I get it. There's going to be more high leverage, important situations in a World Series potentially. But I would look at maybe adding an extra bat. I know Will Smith is going to be looked at from a Dusty Baker perspective. He knows these guys. He knows the National League. They have left-handed hitters. He is a lefty, obviously. But I wouldn't change too much. That was the... Adding an extra bat might be the one thing that I would consider first and foremost. And if you want to swap out Will Smith for Seth Martinez, that's fine simply because I don't know that you're going to need either guy.
I think those are the questions you have. First off, like the idea of dropping a pitcher, there really, since the rosters have expanded to 26, I'm not sure there's ever been a team that carried less than 13 pitchers in a 7-game series. So it would be pretty unprecedented. It would be unheard of for the Astros to only carry 12 pitchers in the World Series. I think that they can get away with it. I think that they can get away with only carrying 12 because, as you mentioned, the dudes in the ALCS not only went 4 games, so it's tough to compare that 7-game series to what would normally be a normal 7-game series that you expect to go 6-7 games. They didn't use Luis Garcia. They didn't use Jose Urquidy, and they didn't use Seth Martinez. So you didn't even use 3 of those pitchers in 4 games. Now, if the series goes 7, do you use all 3 of those guys? I don't know if that you do.
I don't either.
I think you might use Luis Garcia. I think Jose Urquidy's an emergency. I think Seth Martinez is an emergency. Also, keep in mind, like, the 26 roster that you set for the World Series, I know that that's what you're setting for the World Series, But you can make changes if there's an injury. And it's not that hard to fake an injury. So, like, you don't necessarily have to carry 13 pitchers. I would be in favor. I don't think that the Astros will do this, but I would be in favor of the Astros dropping one of the pitchers to add a third catcher to this roster with the idea that the third catcher is never going to play in a game, but it gives you the option of DHing Christian Vasquez. I'm not even DHing Christian Vasquez game one because I think I would start with Trey Mancini, and maybe this is me being a fanboy for Mancini. I think Trey Mancini is going to deliver one big moment for this team. Now, I think he's going to get the first opportunity to DH for the Astros, too, because he had a good game three, didn't look lost at the plate like Aledmys Diaz. So that's one thing that I would do. I don't think that the Astros will. The second conversation is, if you do keep the 13 pitchers, do you add a lefty to this bullpen? Because the Phillies are a little bit more of a balanced lineup. Actually, they're a lot more balanced lineup than what we saw from the Yankees, what we saw from the Seattle Mariners as well. They have lefties throughout their lineup. Kyle Schwarber, lefty, one of their best power hitters. He led them in home runs with 46. Bryce Harper, lefty. And yesterday, their manager was talking about how they might even move Bryce Harper up in the lineup because the Astros don't have a lefty in the bullpen. So I wonder if the Astros heard that and you're like, let's carry a lefty just to play mind games a little bit with Philly. Brandon Marsh, a lefty. Bryson Stott, a lefty. So the starting lineup for the Phils has four lefties. I don't think that the Astros would count on Will Smith, but to have the option of Will Smith over Seth Martinez, it might be something that is attractive to the Astros, even though they have a bunch of righties that can get lefties out. So I think those are the two big questions whenever you look at this team about changes they could make going into the World Series. Minor, not a big deal, but a couple of things. And curious what the Hive thinks. 713-780-ESPN. Any changes that you want to see the Astros make heading into the World Series? 713-780-3776. Kyle and Lumberton, I would love to see them add Diaz, the catcher, drop Martinez, and put Vasquez as the DH. And whenever I've talked about this and whenever I've heard people talk about it, a lot of people are like, oh, Jiner Diaz isn't ready for the moment. You're hoping that he never plays in a game. He's only there for insurance in case Maldonado were to get hurt if Christian Vasquez is your designated hitter in a game. 1509, Sherman says, or actually, I think it's Hemsley. I don't know. He says, DH, let's try the rookie. A lot of people have talked about this with Robert Hensley, DHing Hensley, or David Hensley.
Robert Hensley
is the old
we
dude
know
at
him.
6'10".
Yeah.
David Hensley, DHing David Hensley. I think that David Hensley's probably fourth on the pecking order to DH. I think it starts at Mancini. I think Aledmys Diaz is second. And if they do keep a third catcher, I think Christian Vasquez gets to start at DH before Hensley does.
Yeah, I agree with you. Look, I expect that Trey Mancini will be the first go-around. Because, like you said, I mean, look, Aledmys Diaz looked lost. And for as good as he was during the regular season, how many different positions he played, and the way he was able to fill in and step up for this team was fantastic. He looked lost when he got his at-bats in the playoffs so far. Trey Mancini started to figure it out. And it's tougher because he's not, you know, getting the reps that he normally would during the course of the regular season. But that's who I would go with first. I'm still going to give Diaz another go-around if I have to, if the situation presents itself, because I still believe in a contact hitter that can hit fastballs. So I hope that that's the way that you have to go, that you go and you don't have to go anywhere else. But I also am okay with giving Hensley an at-bat or two. And if he does something with it at some point in the series, looking at him again going, this guy is not, you know, completely outmatched in the moment, and he might be able to do something that can help you. So I think Dusty's got good options, and that's all a manager can ask for.
5-7-4-2, keep Will Smith off the roster so Dusty doesn't put him in based off gut feeling. I get that, because you have righties in this bullpen that get lefties out. Brian Abreu gets lefties out. Hector Neris gets lefties out. Rafael Montero gets lefties out.
Rob Thompson was looking at him, because it's one thing to say what you can do with Harper because you don't have a lefty on the roster. You got plenty of guys that can get lefties out.
The Astros that have reverse splits in their bullpen, four of them. Actually, maybe even six if you want to throw in Hunter Brown and Jose Urquidy into the mix. Rafael Montero has reverse splits. He's better against lefties than righties. Hector Neris has reverse splits. He's better against lefties than righties. Ryan Stanek is better against lefties than righties. And Brian Abreu is better than against lefties than righties. You don't have to carry that lefty in Will Smith, even though the Phillies have a lot of lefties. Now, from a Phillies point of view, their lefties hit righties better. So, like, it kind of Both things can be true. Like the Astros can have righties that pitch better against lefties, but the Phillies can have lefties that hit righties better. Like it's still part of the equation. But I get that logic. Like Will Smith wasn't very good this year. Better with the Astros than he was with the Braves. But do you want Will Smith in a big spot in the seventh with Bryce Harper coming up, or would you rather have Brian Abreu in that big spot?
Is it more too that he the familiar is the
familiarity? Would you rather have Smith or Abreu in a big spot against Bryce Harper in the seventh?
You're going to do this to me purposely, aren't you?
What? No, I'm serious. Oh, like Will Smith or Brian Abreu. It's not purposely.
I mean, just, Brian Abreu.
Yeah, or Ryan Stanek or Hector Neris or Rafael Montero.
The question I was going to ask you is, because he's been in the National League for so long, is it good or bad that he has familiarity with the Phillies and their hitters? Is it better for them or is it better for Will Smith?
I think
Smith
it's better for their hitters.
I think so, too. I think we always say good pitching beats good hitting.
Yeah.
But I think that it's always advantage pitcher if two guys haven't seen each other before. And then once they see what his stuff does, then they have a better opportunity to succeed.
Yeah, and if you look at the series, too, with the Astros and the Phillies, like, the Phillies saw more of the Astros pitching that they're going to count on in the World Series than the Astros saw Phillies pitching that they're going to count on in the World Series. Mm-hmm. Like, the Astros didn't see Wheeler. They saw Nola, but Nola shoved. Whereas the Phillies saw Verlander. They saw McCullers. And I think those are the two big ones. I think Urquidy came on in relief. They had another starter.
They saw someone in the pen.
Because remember the Phillies hadn't clinched yet. Their magic number was one, and everybody was like, look at the Astros. They're throwing Verlander, Fromber, and McCullers in the final three games because they needed to get them work because they knew that they were going to have 5 days off. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I see more and more people willing to move on from Lovie Smith. Where were you at the start of the year, and where are you now in relation to that seat for the Texans head coach? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.